Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on 2 days in the life of Jesus was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. And now, here's Andrew.
And in verse 36, it says, "And when he had sent away the multitude, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, this is a great passage of scripture. And I just want to point out that it was the same day that he had taught them all of these parables. And he had been teaching about how that the kingdom of heaven operates on this principle like a seed. In the same way that all life on this earth operates by a seed, the kingdom of God operates on the Word. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus is called the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All things were created by Jesus, Colossians chapter 1 says, and he spoke the worlds into existence. He said, "Let there be light." Everything, this whole world system, everything was created by words, and he had been teaching them the power and the miraculous power of words. And so, at the same day that he had taught them all of this, he gave them a word, and he said, "Let's get into the ship and go to the other side." This is the same point that I was making in Matthew chapter 14 when Peter walked on the water. He told them to go to the other side. He didn't tell them to go halfway and drown. So you know what? He had taught them about the power of the Word and how that the Word will do everything if you will just honor God's Word. And then, in a sense, it's like he gave them a pop quiz. He'd been teaching them all day. Here's the importance of the Word. And then he says, "All right, let's go to the other side." He gave them a word. And you know what? They didn't understand the importance of the Word. They got out there. Jesus got into the ship, and it says he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. And you know what? This was not a big ocean liner or yacht where it had berths below the ground or below deck, and he wasn't in some berth someplace dry and out of the water. You know, we've been on the Sea of Galilee, and they have this little boat they call the Jesus boat. You know, it's not the one that Jesus used, but that was the name of this boat, this tourist thing. And they said that that is the kind of boat that was used. And we had about, 30 or 40 people that were on that boat. But it was just all open. There was nowhere to hide. If they were in the midst of a storm and it says that the boat was full, then that means that Jesus was sloshing around in this water. He was not down someplace dry and out of the weather. He knew what was going on. And here were the disciples fighting for their life and trying to stay afloat. And Jesus is over there. You know he knows what's going on. He's wet. He's drenched. He's sloshing in the water. And yet he's doing nothing. And so the disciples come to him. And they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" In other words, don't you care about what's happening? We're dying. Do something. Grab a bucket and bail. Get an oar and row. Do something. Pull your weight. You know, we could criticize the disciples for that, but let me just point out that you know what? People come to me all the time and they say, "God hasn't healed me yet. Why hasn't God healed me? I've prayed. I'm doing all of these things and God is doing nothing." There's people that have this exact same attitude, thinking that God is not doing anything. But let me point this out to you. God's part is to give you the seed, the Word. He sent Jesus. Jesus was the Word. And then the Word, Jesus, gave us words, promises, such as go to the other side. He did His part. He spoke. The same God that created the heavens and the earth said, let's go to the other side. And in those words was enough power for them to overcome that storm and do all of these things. Jesus was raising up disciples. Like if you read that account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 over in John's account, John chapter 6, it says that when He says, how shall we feed so many people? It says this He said to prove them because He Himself knew what He would do. Jesus wasn't asking a question and wringing His hands like, how are we going to feed all these people? He knew what He was going to do. He was trying to bring the disciples into this and make them followers of Him. He was trying to get them to say, well, why don't you just multiply the food? He was always trying to get His disciples. He's trying to work Himself out of a job and get other people to do what He was doing. Today, it's just the opposite. Most ministers are presenting it that I've got an anointing. I'm the clergy. You're the laity. And you can't hear from God. And we tend to make ourselves exclusive because it really does draw people to you and make them dependent upon you. There's a lot of people that do that. But Jesus was constantly trying to get them involved. And the reason He was asleep on the pillow, and I believe He knew what was going on, but the reason He didn't do anything is because He'd done His part, and now He had taught the disciples all day about the power of the Word and how it works and how that the Word of God is what makes everything work. He was wanting them to take the power and the authority and the words that He had said, and He wanted them to rebuke the storm. And to prove that, look at what He did. After He got up and stilled the storm, He said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In verse 40, He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Did you know today, if, say for instance, I was in a ship and I had told you, we're going to the other side, and then I went to sleep. And if you came into a storm, did you know the average person would come against me and why aren't you doing something? You don't care. You aren't showing compassion towards these people. And they would criticize me for a lack of compassion. That's what they were doing to Jesus. But you know what? Jesus didn't get up and say, guys, I'm sorry. I really should have been there for you. I should have been helping you. I shouldn't have been asleep. I'm sorry. I was tired. I've been preaching all day. And, you know, instead of apologizing and somehow or another trying to just be sympathetic and showing some compassion towards them, you know what? Jesus got up and rebuked them. And He says, why are you fearful? They probably went, duh, we're dying. Amen. We're in the midst of a storm. We're going to drown. And you're asking, why are we fearful? Jesus was trying to bring them up to His level instead of come down to their level. And He said, you shouldn't have been fearful. He wasn't pleased with them being fearful. He wasn't pleased with their inability to deal with this thing. And then He says, how is it that you have no faith? Any way you want to slice this, Jesus was rebuking them for their carnality and them being only human. Jesus had given them supernatural power over everything. He expected them to deal with it. He had told them about the power of the Word and then gave them a test. Here, guys, let's see if you can do this. We're going to the other side. And He went to sleep. And you know what? It was not His responsibility to rebuke the wind and the waves. It was those disciples' responsibility to rebuke the wind and the waves. And they failed this test. And so Jesus did it for them. But then He turned around and He did not express pleasure. He says, how is it that you are so fearful? Why do you have no faith? You know, the same thing happened in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew when Jesus had come off the Mount of Transfiguration and a man had brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus to cast the spirits out. And yet Jesus was up on the mountain, so He had to deal with His disciples, and His disciples could not cast the demon out. And the man said, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do it. But if you can do anything, have mercy on us. How did Jesus respond and say, guys, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have left you alone. I should have been here. This is too big for you. Forgive me for abandoning you. No, Jesus turned around and He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to be here? He was saying, in a sense, guys, I expect you to do better than this. I gave you authority over all demons and over all sickness. Why don't you do what I've empowered you to do? And I can guarantee you, Jesus is not pleased with our lack of power in the church today. I believe that the Lord loves us. I believe that the Lord is not mad at us. He operates in grace, but it does not bless Him that the church is basically sending the sick to the doctors and sending the poor to the government and sending the people that are having emotional problems to the psychiatrist. They don't need to depart. We ought to be able to feed them. We ought to be able to take care of this. But it's because we haven't taken the seed and planted it in our heart, and we think it's up to the Lord. God, do something. Don't you care that we perish? His part is done. He sent the Word to this earth, and the Word, His Son, died for our sins and gave us all power and all authority. And then He told us, like in, there's many places, but Mark chapter 11, verse 23, whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He told you to speak to the mountain. He told you. And yet most Christians are saying, oh God, we are nothing. We have nothing. We're powerless. The doctor says we're going to die. Jesus, would you please heal me? You're advocating your responsibility and your power and authority, and we're acting like it's up to God whether or not you get healed. It's not up to God whether or not you get healed. God has already done it. He already sent His Son. His Son generated the power and placed the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead on the inside of every one of us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. You have the same power that raised Christ from the dead on the inside of you. And then Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, gave us a command to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. It didn't tell you to pray for the sick. It didn't tell you to say, oh God, we can't do anything. We ask you, if it's your will, to stretch forth your mighty hand and touch us. He told you to heal the sick.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on 2 days in the life of Jesus. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM240C for CD or RM240D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 5th CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
These truths that I'm sharing today, I tell you, they need to be heard all over the world, and I'm doing what I can. You know, we now have the potential of reaching 2.2 billion people daily with this gospel truth broadcast. We're only on one time a day in most places. We need to be on multiple times per day for saturation. There's a lot more that could be done, but it just costs a lot of money. We now spend over $600,000, it's closer actually to $1 million a month on television and radio airtime, and we need to be expanding. So I ask you that if you've been blessed and if you want to help me get this truth out, please join with us and become a partner today.